All right, Bang Bang. Today is Friday, September 6th, Chicago Dog Walk. Guest of the day is Barstool Breakfast host, amongst other Barstool content, performer Large from Barstool Sports. Large, how are you?
I'm good, man. I like being called a performer.
Yeah, performer. Like, yeah, I don't. That's just kind of how it came out. Like,
sure. I'm okay everywhere but the bedroom. But yeah, I try to be a performer to the best of my ability.
Large, it's great to have you. So, Large, if you don't know his backstory, like if you're kind of unfamiliar with Barstool and the inner workings of everything, I would say you would have the most interesting backstory.
I'm up there. I mean, I host the morning radio show with Willie, and Willie's like, you know, won a Super Bowl, so there's a bit of gravitas with that. But yeah, I'm a Wall Street guy. I spent 25 years on the street. I was a trader, equity trader, which the business is starting to fall apart. So I'd gotten laid off. A bunch of guys here were fans of stuff, a blog I wrote back in 2008 when Dave first tried to hire me to be Barstool New York. So they'd asked me to come back and to fuck around and do a radio show and a podcast, just a guest star. Actually, Kevin Clancy is the one who got me back. Then they offered me a job. So I've been here for a year, just signed a 3-year deal. So I'll be here for a while. I'll be here till I'm 50 at least.
What was your motivation though from the blog? Like, did you just not like being a trader, or was it just something to get away?
You know, it was 2007. The market fell apart in 2008. It corrected. It was one of those things where I was working for a bulge bracket firm, Citigroup. And there wasn't a lot of blogs back then. Like, people can't, I wrote thousands of pieces of content. You can't find them because there was no cloud. I predate the cloud, which is a very old thing to say. But I was just writing, and it got a life of its own amongst guys who were also stuck in desks and cubicles. So we got like 250,000 hits a day, which is, for a one-man operation, it was big. And it was just, it was a hobby. And I was managing director in a couple of these firms, so it wasn't like something I could leave to do something like this. And then 10 years later, between 2008 and 2018, when Dave then approached me again, my industry had gone Dixie, whereas Barstool went the exact opposite direction. So I decided to hop on board.
So you went to Notre Dame?
Yeah, in 93 I graduated.
Okay, so you graduated in 93. Like, what is the exact job title you had when you were on Wall Street?
I was a an equity position trader.
Did you know you wanted to do that when you were at Notre Dame?
No, I was going to go to law school. When I graduated Notre Dame in 93, I had gotten into a couple of good law schools. I deferred admission for a semester to take a job on the floor of the American Stock Exchange just to get something, under my belt, to see something. I had the opportunity. I thought it was an exciting idea. And then after my first week of being down on the floor, I told law school to stick it. And I wanted to be a specialist, an equity specialist, and that business went the way of the dinosaur. So I jumped on a couple of sinking ships inside of Wall Street. I made a couple of moves which kept me relevant for a pretty mediocre career. Like, I had a nice 25-year run and never made that fuck you money, but I wasn't one of those guys that was kind of just stuck in a mailroom or anything like that. You know, I was actively trading every day. But the trading business, especially with equities, is starting to go away. If it's not already went away, we used to be 5 cents a share. Now it's a penny a share. So I'm glad I'm not there. And then when I approached Erica, like we were talking about, like contract renegotiations, Erica's husband is a sales trader. I used to do a little bit of business with him. So like, she knew the business I was getting out of. Like, she knew why I was getting out of it. So that made my conversations with her and with Dave a lot easier. So like I said, so I'm signed up and ready to go and create content and all that kind of gush.
But like, that's a fascinating move because in another sense, working on Wall Street, so you're an East Coast guy. Where are you exactly from?
Brooklyn. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, went to school in Manhattan, and now I live in northern New Jersey with my wife and 3 kids.
Okay, yeah. So like, what is it? Is it like when you tell someone you want to work on Wall Street, you're from New York? Like, what's the mentality there? Like, is it like, oh, good luck? Like, is it like, oh, like you're... it's a meat grinder. Like, what is like the first thing that jumps off the page when someone's like, oh, I'm going to work on Wall Street from New York?
Well, yeah. So people come to me for advice now who are in the same situation as I was when they first entered. But I came in the mid-90s, and it was different. It was a lot of coke. There was a lot of like hazing. There was a lot of sexism, racism, like all that. Not good stuff, but there was stuff that just kind of went away. And now it's become a little bit more automated and a little more boring. It's not as much of an open outcry market. Carl, I think it's Carl who does the Wall Street Traders Yes. Are Crazy type thing.
Traders Are Insane. That's Yeah. A blog series that he runs. And that's what I want to get into after this. But what is it? So it was just, now it's more boring or stuff?
Yeah. So the SIBO guys that he talks to, a couple of them I used to do business with possibly, have all those same stories. Those stories have all tailed down. I mean, just like all stories have tailed down because of cell phones, right? Like, when I was first starting, I wouldn't get caught you know, like no one would stick a cell phone over a stall and find out what I'm doing in there or anything like that. So now the stakes are much higher. So it's kind of, and it's gotten less sexist, less like it's tough to bust balls in any fucking industry now. Yeah. And Wall Street was built on busting balls because there was no quotas. There wasn't anything like that. Not from a racist standpoint. It was whoever could get the job done quickest. But, you know, everything's kind of slowed down now. So, it's not as fun, and that's why most people who come into my old industry are coming in on the analyst side or the investment banking side. They're not coming in as equity traders, and I wouldn't recommend anyone come in as equity traders. Yeah. Yeah.
Was it so wild because people had money, or is it wild because the type of person that had that was in that business that like you just had that personality?
Yeah, well, yeah, there was a certain degree of wealth involved. Like even somebody who came out when I first came out, and I think I made like 18 something my first year. I didn't have a lot of money, but I had an expense account in O'Hara's Pub, which made me the richest guy out of all my friends, right? Because we were able to go there four nights a week. I was able to get behind the stick, like serve drinks, and you know, he kind of owned the place. So there was a certain degree of privilege that you felt kind of being down there in the suit and whatnot, as opposed to your buddy who went as like a local three electrician. I came from the local, like we joke around about the union stuff here at Barstool. My dad was a local 40 iron worker for 35 years. My brothers are both local three electricians. So that's my background. So to go from a strict construction background to going, my only member of my family to ever graduate college up until that point was me, and then coming to Wall Street, it was a whole new thing for me.
So I have an idea of what one of the number one questions you get asked nowadays, but sure. What is like, you said you're always giving advice. What's something like you're always asked or something you always give to someone who wants to get into the game now?
It's amazing that people ask, like people actually call into the radio and ask for advice on their way to interviews.
Really?
Like, yeah, like I think people try to grab onto, I do this extra large stuff on Barstool Gold, and every now and again, I'll tell a Wall Street story. And I think the demographic they were shooting for me when they hired me, because I'm 47, was that 35 to 50 demographic, the ones with the deeper pockets. But the guys who are just starting in the business world, who are like 20 to 30, are kind of grasping onto those old school stories because they just don't get them nowadays.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? Like they're filling out forms and doing you know, peer reviews and all that kind of bullshit that I didn't have to go through. But so people just want that. People want like to know about how it was back when it was fun.
But have those guys, like, do you still talk to any of those guys? Like it's hard to take that kind of dog out of them, right? Like,
yeah. So I'm still lucky enough that I have a lot of friends on the street. So I did a tremendous amount of entertaining, because I was a $2 broker for a while, so I had to go out and get business. I did a tremendous amount of entertaining, which is why I love food so much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I have a little bit of a palate. And like Chef Donnie's guy working the camera now, like he's got this palate for a young kid that's extraordinary. I had that same thing as a young kid, but I also had these expense accounts that I can go out and like kind of fuck with it. You know what I mean? So I can always try and eat testicle or something like that.
Yeah.
So I still have those guys who are still going out and still entertaining, who are now still inviting me to go to these dinners because I'm a Barstool guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I go there with the customer, and then the customer pays them $50,000 in commissions the next day. Yeah. So I'm still marketable. I'm just not making any money off of it.
Right. All right. That's not the best.
Nothing
but,
wrong
you know,
with that. It's free meals.
Exactly. Free meals, yeah. There you go. So while we're talking about food, we're talking about palates. So you said Chicago is your favorite state in the union. Is that right?
Yeah. No, for Chicago is my favorite city in the union. Sorry. Yeah. Chicago has not become a state, even though I think they're trying to.
Yeah. You know, they wish, though. Like Southern Illinois, if they could branch away from us, they would fucking dump us in a heartbeat.
Assholes,
yeah, man. Even though they don't. Whatever, that's a whole other topic. But
since I went to college out there, I used to go to Chicago quite a bit, and I like it. So it's like a more spread out, cleaner New York. Everyone is kind of nicer. We go back. All my kids celebrate their 10th birthday in Chicago. Like we take them. So we have my daughter turns 10 next year. So we do something where we'll do like a Cubs game, a Notre Dame game, a Bears game, one of those like kind of trifecta type things, or a concert. So yeah, we just like it. I like the feel around there. I like the people. I like the food scene. I don't go back hardly enough. I've been waiting for an invite from you guys, which hasn't come. But so whenever that happens, it happens. So yeah, so it is one of my favorite. I'm kind of burnt out with New York.
Yeah, no, I got you. And that's when you come, we do get to take you to a place called JP Graziano's. They're the sponsor of this show.
Oh, okay.
You're a big meat guy. You're a big cheese guy. They have awesome stuff. Like it is, it's a place that's been there like in the heart, like right by the old Oprah studio. So mm-hmm. It was kind of in a rougher neighborhood. They started as a wholesaler and like the son took over and just did a great job. And it's legitimately one of the best subs in the city.
So it's a deli.
Yes, it's a deli.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's awesome.
I love old school delis.
It is. And it is so old school, Lars. Like you would love it. It'd be right up your alley. The different kind of breads and everything they bring to the table. Just amazing.
That's nice.
Yeah. And we have a promo code. So if you go out there, if you order online or if you order for pickup, enter the code DOGWALK, you get 10% off. And when you go in the store, they have a sub card, Large. If you say Eddie sent you, you get a free punch on there.
Oh, that's nice.
So you get that free sub sooner.
I kind of like the fact that you hook up with somebody like that, because sometimes I'll do some content. I'll have to do a swipe up for a douche commercial or something. Yeah. It's just something that I don't mm-hmm. like, or they make me wear a watch that I don't want.
Yeah.
Like if you tell me that I could get involved with somebody named JP Grazianos
yeah.
and be able to kind of go in there and have them punch a card like with Large's face on it,
yeah.
I would be over the fucking moon, to be honest with you.
Let me tell you, Large, this place, and I've said this before, at my old job, I worked like 3 blocks away.
Uh-huh.
And this was the spot where it's like if you went without someone, they're like, oh, why the fuck did you tell me? Like, mm-hmm. you know, why didn't you grab me one? Whatever. So when I heard that they wanted to buy in, like I was, you know, over the moon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I was really pumped. So yeah, go check them out, jpgraziano.com or 901 West Randall. Off in the West Loop. But the question that I assume
dog walk for what?
Dog walk for promo, 10% off pickup or delivery orders.
Perfect.
If you order online. So what's interesting is how many people fucking ask you about Wolf of Wall Street now?
Yeah, so like people like when it came out, everyone was like Quaaludes? I'm like, yeah, we did them. we still had a couple of residual Quaaludes, which I think stopped production like the 70s. So they still had these manufactured ones. So I'd done them once. It was still kind of like not to be over, I don't know which way we go on this podcast, but
anyway.
It was still kind of cocaine-ish
when
it came out. Uh-huh. I did most of the coke that I got out of my system when I was very young. I started mm-hmm. drinking and doing stuff very young. So I haven't done it in a while because I have 3 kids. So Wolf of Wall Street was the – I missed that fuck you money in Wall Street by about 10 years. The way that I was a specialist on the floor of the American Stock Exchange, we used to rob people every day. I should have worn a mask to work.
Really?
I don't tell a lot of the stories just because I just don't want to be investigated again.
Yeah.
And I have a couple of small little, you know, red dots on my record. You can see all the stuff that I had done. It's all public. It's all public record if you feel like going after it. But the stuff that we used to do was fucking crazy as far as front running and all that kind of stuff. And people who are in the industry will know what I mean, over advertising, trying to get in on deals and stuff. But the Wolf of Wall Street was so much excess.
Yeah.
You know, like I was never with somebody who looked as beautiful as Margot Robbie, right? Like I did Quaaludes once and I was in somebody's basement. It wasn't like that. It wasn't really that sexy coming out of Maserati.
With a Polish guy in his underwear.
Exactly. But there was a lot of excess. Like guys would take choppers to an island with their suits and then just cut the legs off their suits and that's the shorts for the weekend. Take a chopper back on Sunday night. So there was a lot of stuff going on that I'll never see again. Like even Dave lives a life some consider a myth, but he still doesn't have that Wall Street tinge to it.
Yeah,
where there's so much excess.
Yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm. For sure. No,
I miss it a little bit.
But do you look at that kind of group as like the group now looks at you guys? Like, because I think that's natural in life as well. Like the people in the 80s look at the 70s, like, man, you know, and the people in the 90s,
yeah,
the 80s.
So. Grass is always greener, and jobs seem better once you get away from them. Like people, you know, pine for the old days, but I don't pine for knowing that I had an IPO, you know, on Monday. And then the Sunday night scares for me put blood in my stool. I mean, I went bald before 30. Like, you know, like, so
you
I
really like you put that towards the job.
Yeah, absolutely. I killed myself like the same way my dad has 2 fake hips and a fake knee from being on the iron for 35 years. I mean, I'm probably, you know, I take the under on 70.
Really?
Yeah, I think that it really destroys you to a degree. And the way that you're so desperate for business, especially towards the end, like I was more aggressive with the entertaining and stuff like that, probably towards the end, not the drug part, but just with the entertaining, than I was as a young man.
You're going that hard because you need to have an edge, or if it's like that's how you survive, or if you're not hustling that hard, you're not going
to
make it.
Yeah,
or?
I mean, I had the opportunity to be like a face-to-face guy. Some of the guys who were so smart that they knew your PIN number just looking at you, like they did well just being and performing. I had the opportunity to perform, you know, with positions and shit like that, and also be able to sit down at a table with anyone and kind of do the wine and dine thing. I was always very comfortable around a menu, around a wine list, all that kind of stuff. So it I know it sounds like something that you take for granted, but if you're good at it, it's better than the MBA that just graduated from college who doesn't know fucking, you know, who's still ordering his stuff well done with the ketchup.
No, we just talked about this. We talked earlier. We did a bocce ball thing for Extra Large.
Yeah, it was fun.
Barstool Gold, that's going to come out today at what, 10:30 Fridays?
Yeah, I think 10:30
10:30, yeah. So go check that out if you're Barstool Gold. And we talked about it, how, you know, the Pink Whitneys with New Amsterdam Vodka just came out. They're blowing up, you know, huge in colleges. Like, if you, you know, wine, if you kind of, you know, Gentleman's Fridays, if we put the name of the Barstool Breakfast, like, that would be, people, like, are looking, like, younger kids are looking to be like, hey, what's a good wine? And I get that all the time. Like, hey, Eddie, what's the Italian beef in Chicago? I'm sure you get it like crazy.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I get a lot of, I mean, most of my DMs, like, people get DMs where people are sending them tits and stuff like that. Everyone's like, oh, I'm coming into town with my husband, where can I eat here and there? And so it's fine with me. I don't mind doing it, but I wouldn't mind a tit every now and again. But to your point, like, I speak to the people because Gallo owns New Amsterdam. You know, Gallo is the largest wine producer in the world, and I don't want them to make an investment like they did with the Whitney. I mean, they ordered thousands of cases. Yeah. They produced thousands
of cases.
But
it looks like it's paid off, though.
Flying off the fucking shelves. Like, wine won't do that, but man, like, you're saying that you get involved with a sandwich company, right? Like, I have a burger named after me in some place in Philadelphia. I had a racehorse named after me I was doing Take a Report, like, all that stuff. I get a bottle of wine named after me? That's kind of a bucket list
thing. That's big.
Big. So if I don't make 70, I would have checked something off.
Yeah, and it's like, that's the stuff you learned. That wasn't between the lines, but ever. So
yeah,
Large was fun, man. Thanks a lot for
hopping
on.
Yeah, absolutely. Is this it?
Yeah, this is it.
We want to hang out?
Yeah, you're going to come to Chicago now. Here's my official invite.
That's the official one?
Perfect. You,
yeah, yeah.
Which is bullshit.
Beat it out of you.
Yeah, but regardless, so we'll do another of these when you
come
to town.
Dog walk.
All right, that's it for today. That's it for this weekend, everybody. We will catch you on Monday.